This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And this is the M Squared TechCast. We're back for another week of fun and frolic.
Whether you like it or not.
That's right. We are live on the interwebs, and very shortly will be a carefully edited and curated podcast at SoundCloud, iTunes, and a couple of other places,
well,
right?
Podcast Detroit.
Well, of course.
Duh,
that goes
yeah.
without saying. And yeah. we are live from the lovely Podcast Detroit studios in Ferndale on Hilton Road, and we've got a terrific show lined up for you.
Yeah, we have on the first segment, hopefully calling in from Cleveland, will be the Vice President of Marketing for Be My Designated Driver, which goes under the handle Be My DD. And they're going to be announcing a New Year's Eve special if you use their service. I don't want to steal her thunder by telling you what it is, but it's kind of cool. I think you'll like it. And then at 3:30, hopefully calling in, this is live when we never know, Maureen Miller Brosnan, who is the executive director of the Michigan Venture Capital Association. She'll be talking about their recent dinner that I went to and all the awards. And hey, probably a lot of you folks don't know what it does or what that group does, and she'll tell you.
And it's everybody's favorite subject, money. It's how to get money to start a business, basically.
Yes, we all like money.
Yes. And at 3:45, we have calling in from Michigan State University, Professor Wayne Dykson. He is a professor of computer science and engineering at MSU. He's also executive director of something I went to Friday. It is MSU's Design Day, in which senior capstone design projects are presented, and about 400 freshman engineering students also present projects where they have designed products and services and apps and that kind of thing. It's a heck of a lot of fun. And if you're ever worried about the future of Michigan and the future of this country, go to a Design Day event. I've been to one the last two Fridays. A week ago Friday, I was at the equivalent event at Western Michigan University. The stuff these students come up with is simply amazing. It is really cool. And the senior capstone projects at Michigan State are neat. I won't steal all of Wayne's thunder just a little bit, but their projects, 80% of them are commissioned by Michigan businesses. So you've got Steelcase and Meyer and Whirlpool and companies like that bringing design engineering problems to these students. And these students, over the course of a 4.5 month semester, solve the problem. It's really pretty cool.
You know, I just had this conversation today with Amanda Lawan, who's a millennial, who's a 27-year-old person who is incredibly successful for a 27-year-old person. Here she's the co-founder of Bamboo Detroit. She does michipreneur.com. And I didn't know she has a master's degree from Wayne State. We found out all sorts of stuff about her. But the point being is that was the environment that she grew up in and my kids grew up in and Matt's kids are growing up in, and that technology is everywhere and they don't have to be taught anything and probably a lot more savvy than most of the rest of us anyway, right, Matt?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was – I mean, that's the standard joke, and in my case it's pretty much true, is that if you have a tech problem, you don't need to call tech support. You could just call a kid, basically.
Same thing.
So anybody under the age of 30, right?
Yes. Well, we couldn't trust anybody over 30 in our era.
Yeah, that was the slogan, right?
Don't trust anyone over 30.
I don't remember 30. Of course, it was the 70s, you know.
Yes, a long time ago.
Okay.
If you remember the 70s, you didn't live through them, right?
Exactly.
So, hey, I got some headlines here. You know, I'm big on cybersecurity, have been for a long time, and I just think eventually we're going to have that cyber 9/11, and everybody else is going to be joining me on the bandwagon where we got to do something about it. But the governor did something about it. He announced last week that in Battle Creek at the Air National Guard base, using one of those really great merit nodes there, the cyber range, that we're going to be adding the cyber squadron. What is that all about? It's a bunch of Army guys. who are going to be fighting sort of cyber war, which is really going on right now. I mean, if people really knew what was going on right now, measures and countermeasures, World War III is going on now, and it's just being fought in cyberspace. So these are the cyber warriors. There's going to be 70 of them coming to the Air National Guard base. And the nice thing is there's only four of these squadrons around the country, and we have one in Michigan.
And where will that be based?
That'll be in Battle Creek at the Air National Guard base there.
Okay. That also happens to be the home that's the formal.
Oh.
Lovely.
Sorry about that. I will have to cut that out later.
Okay. Schroeder and Beethoven have joined us here for the Christmas episode. Okay. That's actually at the former Battle Creek Airport that is now also home to the Western Michigan University College of Aviation.
Wow,
they share
of stuff.
That. Yeah, they share that with the National Guard, and that's the old Fort Custer base. I wanted to talk about something pretty cool that's more engineering related. It's kind of high tech, but it uses good old Mr. Gravity. It's a company I think, Mike, you've written about too in Detroit called Parjana Distribution. Greg McParkland and his company, they have developed what's essentially a fancy high-tech straw made out of plastic that will drain areas where there's ponding and equalize water around the house, get water out of your basement, that kind of thing. Lawrence Technological University and an expert there that's an expert in stormwater runoff management are using that to improve stormwater runoff in the Lawrence Tech parking lots. And they are, if you're in the area of Lawrence Tech Thursday from 11 to 2, they're doing an installation in one of their parking lots. It's really neat high-tech stuff. And what it does is reduce the load on our infrastructure. It sends more stormwater runoff directly into the ground underneath the parking lot through a series of permeable pavements and other technological ledger domain, rather than putting it into the sewer system where it strains the treatment of the water that you really want treated, which is the stuff coming out of the toilet, right? You know, stormwater runoff stormwater runoff is just sort of, it's what they call gray water. It's not really that dirty. If you can return it to the ground right where it's generated, then that's a far superior solution. But it's neat technology. It's interesting. It's fun. It's parjana.com if you want to look at it. And there's going to be an installation event, kind of a groundbreaking or an underground breaking in this case, Thursday at 11 o'clock at Lawrence Tech.
Or water breaking. Okay, moving right along. I'm just on a bad roll today. Picking up a story from the Engineering Society of Detroit Technology Century website.
Oh, my goodness. How about that?
Thank you.
Where's that bell?
It's
too far away. I can't reach it.
Gotta get that bell.
Okay, yeah. Someone needs to have it nearby. Thank you, Jess.
There we go. Sorry. A little humor. The Walsh College is offering a new cybersecurity concentration, a Masters of Science in Information Technology program starting next month. And again, it goes back to that idea that, gosh, we need a whole lot more cyber warriors than what we have. And if you get into this, the money is outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking six figures.
Starting salaries in the six figures.
Suddenly you're making $120 a year or something, So So that's something you need to check out if you have any thoughts about wanting to get into cybersecurity, which they just don't have enough people to do that.
Yep. Another headline that I wanted to bring up, our friends at Continental in Auburn Hills, that's the North American headquarters of the German auto supplier, they've developed a new generation of film technology for the shading of car windows. It essentially is automatic darkening car windows. When you run an electric current through them, they will get tinted, slightly darker, which is an interesting piece of technology. We see that in,
the glasses you wear on your face?
Yeah, something like that, except it's variable with an electric current. So you can put the current through the windows and darken them when it's hot out or when it's really bright out. And it's just basically an improvement on the, on the window visor for when the sun's blasting you in the face or when it's really hot outside. And the idea there is that if you darken the windows, you can lessen the load on the air conditioning unit, so you can make the air conditioning unit smaller and lighter and more efficient and help lightweight the car.
Wow.
This is all part of trying to make cars lighter and more efficient, because looking us right in the face in 10 years is that 54.5 mile a gallon federal requirement for the passenger car fleet here in the United States. So this is just one more tiny little step. I mean, if you could do this and make the air conditioning unit slightly lighter, then that's another 1/10 or 2/10 of an MPG. And that's what it takes to get you to 54, basically. So
54, that was a good age. I remember that. So anyway, yes. Interesting story coming out of Grand Rapids. So the Right Place is a big economic development group they have over there. And they have a survey, well, it's an annual report, actually, that George Aracek does from Kalamazoo.
Sure.
He's down at the Upjohn Center, I guess it is.
Upjohn Institute.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yep.
Anyway, so what he came up with this year was something that really caught my attention because of all the younger folks moving into downtown Grand Rapids. And again, if you're moving down there, chances are you're working for one of the hospitals or one of the tech companies, so therefore your education is also better. Well, anyway, when he did the survey, when he looked at the statistics on the demographics, the folks between 25 and 34 are pretty much similar, are as advanced in terms of their education and everything else that goes along with that, like Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
So we're on Grand Rapids is on a comparison with Portland, Oregon. You don't generally hear that, right?
No, not at all.
So,
yeah. Well, they certainly are in brew pubs. I mean, you know. It's
they drink a lot of beer.
Oh, and really high quality beer, too. There's a lot of really good stuff in Grand Rapids. That has become my wife and I did an anniversary there a couple of years ago. We stayed at the City Flats Hotel, which is this sort of high-tech, you know, LEED gold, you know, super energy efficient hotel. It's all LED lighting and bamboo floors and that kind of thing. It's just a really neat spot. And walking up and down Monroe Center there, that's not the Grand Rapids I remember from, yeah. you know, years ago. I mean, it's really a high-tech place, a lot of cool shops, a lot of cool restaurants, bars, brew pubs, you name it. I mean, they've done a nice job with that place.
And a lot of the warehouses are now flats and condos and, you know, lofts and you name it.
Yep.
And
there's a big campus of Grand Valley downtown now with dorms that wasn't there just a few years ago, and that always, you know, makes someplace cooler if you throw a couple thousand college students into it.
Yeah, it's mostly the business schools downtown, which makes sense, right? Yeah.
Yep. And the engineering school.
Yeah, that's true.
Too.
Yeah, engineering's yep. down there too. So yep. a nice little group. What else you got?
There's been a sea change in the staffing industry here in Michigan. Bartech, which is a staffing firm that does engineering, high tech, and clerical, a whole bunch of other temporary staffing needs and contract staffing needs, has been bought out by a firm from the United Kingdom. Luton, England-based Impellum Group PLC has purchased Bartech Group for $120 million. Now they say nothing's going to change. The Bartech people will stay, you know, Bartech people, and the local place will stay, you know, basically intact. You know, obviously that remains to be seen. We are hopeful, but this company's been on a bit of an acquisition binge. They bought several other smaller staffing companies, but Bartech is one of the big ones, and it started out as a minority owned supplier to the big three, and has since moved on to bigger and greater things with all sorts of staffing requirements, including there's a lot of staffing in the engineering world, especially in the automotive industry, where you will be contract, but you'll be working at either an OEM or a tier one supplier. So, you know, this is one of the companies that got those people, you know, and basically if you were really good, what it boils down to is it's an audition, you know, for a permanent job when you get an automotive engineering job through one of these staffing firms.
All right.
It's like an extended job interview. But anyway, Bartech is now owned by the Impellum Group of the UK.
Okay. We got very little time left, but just the big highlight of the week, last week, was the Dow-DuPont merger. Of course, it still has
Speaking
to be
of
approved.
Mergers, yes.
Yes. Little one, $130 billion. No big deal.
It's a little one.
Everyone's wondering what's going to happen to Midland once this goes through. It'll take probably 6 months or a year for the various regulators everywhere to deal with it, but then what? Right?
Yeah.
You know?
I want to talk to my uncle about that one. My uncle Wally Rausch was a salesman.
Wally.
Good old Wally. Everybody remembers Wally. He's now retired and living in South Carolina, close to numerous golf courses, but he was a salesman for Dow for years.
Wow.
And I don't know what he sold. You know, when you have older relatives, you know, you never know what they do for a living, right? You know, it's Uncle Wally. He works for Dow. So
sometimes you don't want
to
know.
But I would love to talk to him now and, you know, just sort of find out what he's up to as regards this and what he thinks about it. Because if you want to talk about a company town, it's sort of like Gerber and Fremont or, you know, I mean, it's Midland is Dow. So this will be interesting.
All right. We got to break real fast. Hopefully we're coming back with Be My DD.
All right. And it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're on M Squared TechCast, calling in, I think, from Cleveland, right, Alexa? Is that where you're at today?
Yes. Sunny and warm Cleveland, Ohio.
Lovely land of Cleve. Alexa Milkovich. She's with the Be My DD, which, tell us what all that stands for.
Sure. Be My DD stands for Be My Designated Driver. And our whole concept is we drive your car so you don't have to.
I like it. So now you've got for New Year's Eve, which I imagine New Year's Eve is a big night for you guys, right?
Yes, our biggest night of the year.
Whoa. And so you got a little give back coming. I don't want to steal your thunder here. I'll let you explain it. So if I ride with you on Be My DD on New Year's Eve, what happens? Well, besides getting me home without a drunk driving, besides that, what happens?
So, Be My DD, we have a service that's called our personal driver service, and that's where you actually reserve a driver for the entire evening. So that driver will come to your home, leave their vehicle there, and then drive you in your own car anywhere you want to go for an hourly rate. And so for New Year's Eve specifically, we are going to donate $1 for every hour of designated driver service provided to help move dogs from kill shelters to non-kill shelters.
Very cool.
Little puppies. So this year we're giving back for those who can't really help themselves.
Now, it'd be a nice touch if you had a puppy in the car with you so the people could hold it while you're driving them home. I just throw that out. You think that'd be a nice touch?
There's a risk there. It depends just how bad a shape they're in. You never know.
Right, so exactly.
All right.
So tell me a little bit about Be My DD. How did it get started? Where did it get started? And who started it? Who's behind this company?
Sure. So our CEO, Arthur Simonovsky, is actually the brainchild behind the idea. And I hopped on board with him about a month after operations launched in March of 2010 on St. Patrick's Day.
So it's been around a while.
The launch date for that. And we started here in just Cleveland, Ohio, and then since then we've expanded like wildfire all over the United States. So now we actually operate in 76 cities and 33 states nationwide.
Wow.
We actually offer three different services here at Be My DD. So the personal driver service, as I described before, where you can have a driver for the entire evening, like a personal chauffeur, just utilizing your own vehicle. We actually have a pickup service, which is our safety net service. So if you're out and about and you actually already drove somewhere, you can call us or download our mobile app and reserve a driver to come take you and your car back home. And that's based on mileage. So,
What does that cost, Alexa?
It's $25.45 a mile.
Okay.
So two drivers will arrive to your location. One hops out, takes you and your car home while the other one follows. So that's our safety net pickup service. And then we actually have another service that's for events. So if you're having a small house party or a holiday party and you want to keep your guests safe because you are distributing alcohol, what you can do is reserve teams of drivers to wait on site towards the last couple hours of your event to take anybody and their car back home. So it's like a shuttle service, just utilizing your guest vehicle, and that's called our Peace of Mind plan.
Wow. And what is that? That must be a little more expensive, right? Or what does that cost?
Yeah, it's $52 per hour per team. So there's two drivers in one team, and for an hour, it's just $52. So really, you know, if you think about it, you have one team for 2 hours for the last couple hours of your night. It's $104 for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too pricey, especially, you know, on these busy, well, especially everybody's on the road. 'Tis the season.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the time of years where there's a definite increase in people getting behind the wheel intoxicated. So this is just a way to keep your family safe.
I know how expensive those limos are. They start around $500 for 4 hours and go from there, right?
Absolutely. They're extremely expensive.
Sure. Plus you're tipping the driver $150 usually, or $100 at
yeah,
least. So.
Absolutely.
Right.
So is there a story behind the creation of this company? Is there something that the founder, who's the founder?
That's Arthur Simonovsky.
Okay.
And actually, Arthur and I went to high school together. And then since then, we both went to colleges. He went to Miami University down in Southern Ohio. I went to Kent State University. And after we graduated college, it was kind of one of those things where we were both living in the suburbs and taking a cab to and from where we live, downtown Cleveland, was at least $70 to $80 one way.
Ooh, yikes.
And so it was kind of one of those ideas that he goes, well, what if we just hired a designated driver as opposed to, you know, picking asking somebody, hey, can you stay sober tonight and drive around, or flipping a coin, which doesn't really work out. So that's kind of where the idea started from, a void, right, that we didn't have. We didn't have an option like this. We wanted to pay somebody to drive us around in our car the whole night. And then we also came up with, well, what if we didn't plan ahead? What if we planned, you know, later, you know, and at the end of the night, what are we going to do then? How am I going to get my car home? So to lead into, you know, why we came up with that service was because a lot of people get behind the wheel at the end of the night because they need their car in the morning. You know, you can get home with a cab or, you know, use an alternative Uber service like Uber, but they don't take your car home, which is why people get behind the wheel in the first place. So that's when, you know, we came up with our pickup service. We take you and your car back home at the end of the night.
I don't recall anybody else offering this service. Everybody always says they never have any competition, but do you have competition?
You know, we're the largest designated driving company in the U.S. That does both of these services. I'm sure there's other companies out there in certain areas that have similar services. Their pricing might be different, might be a little bit more expensive. But yeah, I mean, sure, there's probably competition, but it's not too big of a competition, if that makes sense.
So let's say I want to become a driver for Be My DD. How do I go about doing that? How do you vet the drivers?
Sure, absolutely. We kind of put them through a little bit of a rigorous process because we don't just want to hire Joe Schmo off the street. So what we do is we actually have them fill out an application online. If our HR department likes what they see there, then we'll give them a phone interview. And if they like what they hear there, then we do a face-to-face interview. After that's completed, we have to put them through a background check. So they can't have any prior felonies, prior DUIs, can't be a registered sex offender, and no more than 2 moving violations in the past 2 years. So if that is completed, then they become a Be My DD driver, and we ask that they show up in a shirt and tie, always business professional.
And this service is offered in Metro Detroit and I believe Ann Arbor as well, right?
Correct, yep. So pretty much the center of the city and surrounding suburbs. We mainly service those that are in the suburbs because they're the ones that utilize Be My DD the most. There's no real like public transportation to get from a suburb that's 30 to 40 minutes away downtown. So that's who we usually service.
Now, expansion plans next year, are you going to be looking at other Michigan markets next year?
We hope to be in every major city in Michigan. The only expansion plans that we have right now is actually to go into Canada. So maybe Toronto, maybe Windsor, if we can get internationally everything all worked out.
Windsor would be perfect for Detroit because that's where Detroit goes to play, is Windsor. So
you
could bring them back over from across the border.
We'll try it. Yeah, exactly. That's what we want to do.
So,
be able to go.
Yeah. How many metros do you think this service will work in? I mean, you know, how small of a town can you have this in? There are places in Michigan where it might work seasonally almost in the summer, you know. Places like Traverse City or Petoskey or Charlevoix that are really small towns in the winter, but they get like five times their normal size in the summertime because of the tourist trade.
Sure. I mean, you know, what we do is we base it on the demand. So the supply of drivers isn't really, you know, that big of a problem. And what we don't want to do is hire a ton of drivers, not be able to give them enough work. So if it comes to some of those cities, we would just base it on demand and we would keep, you know, increasing the supply of our drivers the more and more demand increases.
So what do drivers make roughly? I'm thinking about doing this on the weekend. No, I'm just kidding.
Little extra money on the side.
Never hurts.
You know, right now in the city of Detroit, drivers make an hourly rate plus tip.
Okay.
So really we keep, you know, the cost of services for customers is low. And the reason why we make it low is because we want everybody to use it. So Be My DD, we work off volume. That's why we're located in 76 cities. Mm-hmm. So drivers, we always encourage the customers to tip, and they do. Sometimes drivers get really tipped really well. And the best part about it is that they can build their clientele and they have consistent customers. And so that's really great for the drivers as well, because they could, you know, meet that one customer that'll use them 4 days a week and introduce them to their friends. And sure enough, you know, what they thought would be a part-time job is now a full-time job.
Right.
And they can actually make a lot of money.
And then do the drivers use their own vehicles?
The drivers only need to use their own car to get to the customer's house. So they actually can select what zip codes they'd like to service.
Okay, I got you.
So, or a radius. So if they only want to drive 15 miles outside of where they live, then that's, you know, what we'll give them.
Or it could be just one zip code, right? So, you know, if you want to stay close to home. So, okay.
Exactly.
Interesting. So as someone who's interested in entrepreneurship, and we have a lot of entrepreneurs listening to the show, what's your revenue model? What's the parent company's revenue model?
Well, we corporately own everything. So some people who try to open up similar businesses like ours, they try to franchise it out. But then you have to increase your pricing for customers to actually make, you know, a decent amount per that city. So our whole concept was, you know, let's expand and be the largest designated driving company and have, you know, in the U.S. and be in as many cities as we can. That way we don't have to, that way we can keep the cost low and work off volume as opposed to keeping it in one city and having to increase pricing. So that was where I think we had a little bit of a unique business model because we don't franchise. We corporately own everything.
All right, we just got a little bit of time left. Why don't we tell people, if they're interested in connecting with you guys, not only for New Year's, but any other time of the year, how do they do that?
Sure. They can do that one of three ways. They can go to bemydd.com. They can reserve a driver on our website, and there's also a live chat option as well if they need assistance there. They can download our mobile app, which is available on all platforms, and they can also give us a call at 877-UBMYDD.
All right. Well, that's Alexa Milkovich, the Vice President of Marketing for Be My DD, based in Cleveland, but you can use them right here in Southeast Michigan. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast.
We'll be right back. Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
And calling in from lovely downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan, is Maureen Miller Brosnan, who executive director, right, of the Michigan Venture Capital Association. Did I get your title right?
That's exactly right, Mike.
Okay, cool. Now, we, of course, know what you guys do, but there may be a lot of folks out there that they hear venture capital, but they don't really know what that is. I always get, you know, I always enjoy going to these meetings where they confuse angel investing with venture capital investing and all the rest. But let's start with what the MVCA is and what you do.
Well, the Michigan Venture Capital Association is a trade association, and it represents 37 different venture capital firms in the state of Michigan. And venture capitalists are really brave men and women, in my book, who invest in startup companies. And these are startup companies that are high-tech companies. So they focus on technology and life sciences. They're not startups of commercial enterprises or retail enterprises. This is a startup for, like I say, very end, high-tech, high-end businesses. And we have 12 angel organizations, which angel networks, which are part of our organization as well. And angels tend to invest also in high-tech startups, but they get in at the very, very base of a startup, when sometimes it's just an idea. Maybe there aren't even any sales associated with the company that's been formed yet. So they take extremely high risk, but at a lower dollar amount than venture capitalists do.
So Maureen, it's Matt Roush. About a million years ago when I covered finance for Crane's Detroit Business, my boss Mary Kramer came to me.
That was a million years ago, yes, I think.
And she gave me this list from Crane's Chicago Business of venture capital firms in the Chicago area and said, why don't we do a list like this for the Detroit area, venture capital firms in the Detroit area? Well, this was maybe 1994.
There have been about two names on that list.
That's what I'm saying, is that the venture capital situation in Michigan, it used to be just absolutely non-existent. Tell us a little bit now about how many venture capital firms there are in Michigan and how much venture capital there is available in Michigan. I know that's somewhat of a malleable figure because it depends how you count the apples, but
right. Well, that is one of the things that the Michigan Venture Capital Association does do, though, is we count the apples. So there are we know that there are 37 venture capital firms in the state of Michigan right now, and that number has grown considerably. And along with that number, we've seen the growth in investment, at a considerable rate as well. And one of the things that we do every year is we put out an annual research report. And the purpose of the annual research report is to look at those numbers and where that growth occurs at. So with 37 venture capital firms, we've seen a 45% increase in the number of firms in Michigan over the past 5 years. So, you know, that is really a significant number. The other thing that we look at, in addition to those kind of growth numbers, is, as you indicated, how much money is invested in venture capital. And one of the things that we really like to make sure that people understand is that not all of the money that gets invested in the 51 startups that currently exist in Michigan comes from inside the state of Michigan. Venture capital in Michigan is an extremely collaborative environment. So venture capitalists are capable of attracting money from outside the state as well. And as a matter of fact, we attract more money from outside the state than we do inside the state to invest in startups. For every dollar, for example, that's invested in a startup company by a Michigan-based venture capital firm, there's an additional $2.90 that gets brought in as, co-investment from outside venture capital firms. And we think that that is really a big key to some of Michigan's economic rebound, is that we've been able to bring more money into the state of Michigan because we have such a great collaborative environment that exists between a large number of venture capitalists in Ann Arbor, Detroit, out on the west side of the state, and then in Oakland County. Those seem to be the four main pockets where you find your investors.
And if I recall from your report, 143% increase, was that's for 2015, right?
That's correct, yes.
So that's a good news, right? Yeah.
It is. There was actually a lot of really good news, you know, that came out of that report. And basically, you know, when we do this and we have the results that come out every year in the month of April, it's showing steady and consistent growth in venture capital in Michigan. And, you know, that's really what you're looking for when you're looking to make an investment in a market that you think may have potential. And we definitely have seen that in the state.
All right, let's talk a little bit about threshold investment levels, because you hear these people that say, oh, I'm going to start a company and get venture capital. I go, no, there's a few steps in between. Because, I mean, usually the first round is your own money. I mean, I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs have heard say, well, I had to remortgage my house. And then you go hit the friends and family, which we call the friends and fools round. And then you kind of graduate to the angel investment, and even then it's nice money, but I mean it might be $200,000 or something along those lines, right?
Yeah, that's usually about right. We usually see, you know, venture investors, and they do get involved at various stages, you know, from seed to mezzanine level funding. You know, they do get involved. And we have a great breakdown, actually. You know, around $2.5 million is normally where you'll see your venture capitalists get involved in investing. But one of the things that we do have that helps people is if you go to our website, there is a breakdown of our membership, and it shows, number one, at what level venture capitals want to get involved, whether it's seed, startups, early stage startup, growth expansion, or mezzanine level. And then it also breaks it down by what sector they like to invest in, because all of them have, you know, different propensities, whether it's information technology, life sciences, alternative energy, you know, advanced materials and manufacturing. They're all different areas that they like to invest in. So what this helps entrepreneurs do is it helps them to look at that breadth of 37 different investors and say, which, you know, 5 or 10 of these are really in the arena that I wish to be playing in. And it helps them narrow their focus.
I always love talking about mezzanine venture capital. It just sort of reminds me of the Gilmore's department store in downtown Kalamazoo when I was a kid. You know,
different mezzanine.
Mezzanine, ladies' lingerie. Okay. tell me, what are some of the hot sectors right now? I know, excuse me, we've been through periods where, you know, nanotech was hot for a while, energy was hot for a while, medical devices still, I guess, or what are some of the more active sectors these days?
Yeah, you know, the life sciences sector still is the area of greatest investment in the state. 53% of all investments are made in the life sciences area. And when you break down that life sciences area, 34% of the funding goes into pharmaceuticals. So that's still big, with devices coming in at 22%.
So wow. We have quite a history of pharmaceutical development in the state, right? Trilipitor on for size, among others.
75% then would be in the life sciences area.
53% is in the life sciences.
Well, medical device.
Among that 53%, when you start breaking it down,
oh, okay.
You're 34% in pharmaceutical.
Got it. All right.
And then the second big area is information technology, with 19% of the investment going into information technology. Now, you know, in all fairness to that, that is the fastest growing area of investment in the state of Michigan. And it does have, you know, your money turns around a little bit faster in that area, and that's probably what drives that. Life sciences is a long haul investment. It's 10 or more years normally. And in the area of information technology, most of the investment is being made in the software arena. 84% of the tech investment is in software.
Are mobile apps getting hot now?
Yeah, mobile apps are really big. They're all part of that software, 84%, and we definitely see a lot of development in that arena.
All right, so how much of this is connected? I mean, is there startup activity that's automotive related? I mean, that is our legacy industry, right? It's manufacturing is what we're good at. So what's the tie-in there?
Yeah, there is. Advanced materials and manufacturing constitutes, and some of your information technology is related to the automotive industry as well. But that is another one of the sectors that we find a lot of growth in. And in particular, when we look at the growing industry of investment coming out of Detroit, there's a lot of connection, you know, where Detroit is really trying to capitalize on its automation roots and automotive roots. And so we're finding an increased investment in technology as well as advanced materials and equipment and things like that in that arena.
All right. So what's the future of this organization? I mean, what kind of expansion? We're still, I guess, kind of a drop in the bucket compared to California, right? But what are the growth prospects here?
Yeah, you know, actually, you know, Michigan's not trying to be California, and I think that's the first thing we have to dispense with. We have a very different climate and a work culture, and actually what we're finding is that, you know, in over the last decade, our state has experienced tremendous economic growth. As a matter of fact, according to the PwC Money Tree report, the Great Lakes region is one of the fastest growing venture capital investment areas in the nation. So we have seen nationally where growth in venture capital is at about 34%. In the Great Lakes region, venture capital investment has grown by 113%. And within the Great Lakes region, Michigan's investment has grown by that 143% that you just heard Mike mention. So that means we are now more than four times the national average in terms of investment. And one of the big reasons that we see that happening is that you really do get more bang for your buck in Michigan. We've got some great ideas that are coming out of our universities and our companies, and so that makes us one of the top states where people come to look for what the next latest and greatest thing is. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that we really found ourselves celebrating recently at our annual awards dinner, was that very specific information that, you know, Michigan really is leading the way when you look at what's happening across the nation right now.
So tell me a little bit about that awards dinner. What kind of awards do you folks pass out? If I can get that out of my mouth here.
Well, we really focus on recognizing our industry itself and the big contributors to the industry. So, for example, there's the capital event of the year, which this year went to Arboretum Ventures. Arboretum Ventures is one of our longest established venture capital firms in Michigan, and they raised a staggering $220 million for its fourth round of investment now. And this is a company that focuses on healthcare funds and some of those life sciences innovations that we've seen. And they've been very successful in that regard, and that's what's led them to be able to raise another $220 million. That's $220 million that they're going to get to put toward more startups and invest in more new ideas in Michigan. The second award went to the Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and that recognized the work of Mina Such. Mina is a great example of what we call a serial entrepreneur. These are people that have been entrepreneurs themselves. They get bit by the bug, and they keep reinvesting, and they keep investing in other entrepreneurs and guiding and leading new startup organizations. And Mina's ability to translate her past experience into the growing and nurturing promising startups is really what caused her to achieve and win the 2015 Entrepreneur of the Year Award. She's now leading her second venture-backed biotech startup as the president and CEO of a company called Gemfire Therapeutics. Okay. And they just closed on a $5 million Series A round.
Very cool. And okay, Maureen.
That's really cool.
Don't mean to cut you off, but
yeah,
the clock is our master here, and we are out of
time.
So thank you very much, Maureen Miller-Brosden from the Michigan Venture Capital Association, and that's MichiganVCA.org, right?
That's correct.
All right. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. And our final guest today from Michigan State University, Go Green, is Wayne Dykson.
Where's that bell?
Executive Director. That's not really a plug. I sent my daughter there. I did. I don't get money from them. I paid money to them.
Okay, anyway, good point.
That's all right. Okay. Anyway, Wayne is a professor of computer science and engineering at Michigan State, and he is also executive director of an absolutely fabulous event that I went to Friday at Michigan State called a Design Day. So, Wayne, tell me a little bit about Design Day and what it is and how it works and all that good stuff and why people should go to the next one on April 29th. Mark your calendars now.
Sure. Hi, Matt. Great. Design Day is a very significant event in the academic life of the College of Engineering here at Michigan State. It's held on the last day of each semester in the fall and the spring. And basically what it is, you can think of it as a trade show or an exhibit where students from throughout the college put their design projects on display for the general public. It's held within the engineering building. It's a very large event, and we have visitors from all over the state. And in fact, we even have visitors from other states.
Okay. So what kind of projects are on display there? What classes are represented?
In the fall semester, we have five of our degree programs, computer science, electrical, computer engineering, mechanical engineering, and civil engineering. In the spring semester, all 10 of our academic programs are on display. So this current fall, for example, we had projects from 10 different courses, which involved 141 teams and over 600 MSU engineering students. One of the highlights of Design Day are the senior capstone course projects. These are senior projects in courses where seniors put together everything they've learned in their first 4 years at Michigan State and designed some sort of outstanding project. In the senior capstone projects, we had 245 students and 48 teams. We had 44 different projects, and of all those projects, 82% were Michigan-based companies and institutions.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, if you would. That's one of the more interesting things I find about Design Day is that these projects are sponsored by Michigan companies that bring actual real-world engineering problems and computer problems to these students to solve.
Right, absolutely. I mean, the purpose of the course is these courses is to give our students an experience, as much of a real-world experience as possible with any company, but it turns out most of them turn out to be Michigan-based companies. We're very much focused on the state of Michigan here at Michigan State University. So, for example, one of our projects involved a team of students that did work with a company called TechSmith here in Okemos, Michigan. It's a project where you can take a Windows mobile phone or a tablet, and the software will find text using the phone's camera, find text in the real world. It will recognize a phone number and offer to dial it. It will recognize an email address and offer to send email to it. It will recognize a street address and offer to put it in Bing Maps. One motivation for that project was for visually impaired students and accessibility. And one of the team members, Jordan Kester, is one of our computer science majors here at Michigan State University, and she is blind. And she did an outstanding job on this project.
Now, there was one other project there that I saw that I liked a lot that was for Meijer, and that's actually one that I plan on using if they ever make it available to the public. Describe that one, if you would, please.
That's a really neat – that's for your mobile phone, either an Android phone or an iPhone. While you're in a Meijer store, you can scan the barcode of a product. The software will bring up the Meijer price, but it will also bring up the prices of competitors like Walmart or Kmart or Sears or Best Buy, and it'll show you the difference. The idea behind that is eventually if there is a difference in price, if the price somewhere else is slightly less, then it'll automatically generate you a coupon that you can use in-store right then and right there so you make the purchase within Meijer as opposed to going to their competitor.
Wow. This is Mike Brennan. I'm Matt's co-host. That's really cool. I like that. Now I imagine that it'll be commercialized. Now, of these projects that Matt looked at, do a lot of these end up turning into startup companies?
Some of them do. Many of the projects are done, obviously, in collaboration with these companies. And so the companies end up turning them into some sort of software that they use. Meijer, if they use this, will end up making it part of their MPerk software.
Hmm. Okay. So, but typically that's how this works, is these students partner with an existing company and work hand in glove with them?
Well, the professors who run the capstone courses, so I run the computer science capstone courses, of course, we look for projects throughout the year with companies. And so, yeah, we find the projects, we have the companies make proposals for projects, and then we vet them. I'm in the process of doing that now for the spring semester. I'm vetting project proposals for computer science. Huh. And it's done in electrical engineering, it's done in mechanical engineering as well. So the professors and the staff are the ones who find the projects, and then we make up the project teams.
So I didn't want to put you on the spot here, but what departments are represented in the spring design day that don't participate in the fall one?
Applied engineering sciences, material sciences.
Okay.
And also some of our freshman programs are represented more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell me about the freshman bit a little bit. I know there's literally it's Engineering 100, right? It's the beginning class. And they come up with projects of their own. If you thought a couple of those were interesting, what would be typical examples?
This part of what we refer to as our core program, We don't throw them in deep water, but we throw them into the water as soon as they get here. We think it's important for freshmen to experience engineering as soon as they get here. And previously in the past and other programs and other places, you might not experience engineering until you're, say, a junior.
Yeah.
We throw them in right away in their freshman course. They do a number of team design projects. They may be asked to design, for example, a bridge out of a spaghetti. They may be asked to design some vehicle that rolls down an incline at a certain rate out of food. It can be almost anything, but it's the point of it is to get them to work in a team, to think creatively, and to solve a problem. It's been met with great success. Our students love it. It really gives them a feeling of camaraderie and a feeling of ownership of the College of Engineering as soon as they come in the door.
Here. Yeah, that's one of the problems with engineering and with the dropout rate, or actually not dropout so much as just changing your major, is that a lot of places for the first 2 years in an engineering program, you're doing nothing but calculus and physics, and you never really learn real-world applications of this stuff that you're learning, and this program throws them into that right away, and it's actually more fun, I think, for them.
Exactly. That's the whole motivation for us. We want to make sure that they feel like they're part of the College of Engineering from the day they get here, as opposed to saying, you know what, maybe in 2 years you can become a member. It's worked out very well for us, and it certainly has helped our retention rates. We tend to keep our freshmen after they get here. Because they find out what it's like to be an engineer early on.
Yeah, that was my one of my questions. Matt asked it ahead of me, actually, is I've known a lot of people that started out as engineers and discovered, well, gosh, you know, I can't do that calculus, or I really don't like that calculus, or whatever it might be, and they end up changing majors. But this is really a better way to do it.
Well, I think it's not even so much that they can't do the calculus or they don't want to do the calculus. They can't, and they're just young students. They don't see the forest through the trees. They don't understand what it's like to be an engineer, what it means to be an engineer, and they may confusingly think, oh, it's just about calculus, or it's just about physics. And when they get in a lab and they start working in a team and they get their hands dirty, at Michigan State we have a tremendous history here of rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands dirty and attacking problems. And when they do that as freshmen, they're more motivated to study physics. They're more motivated to study calculus as opposed to doing it completely in a vacuum, for example.
Hmm. Okay.
Absolutely. I also noticed that there were several teams that worked on a redesign of the MSU former power plant site that was next to the football stadium. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yes, that's a civil engineering project. So civil engineering is somewhat different. The way civil engineering works is they form a whole number of teams, and the teams all work on the exact same project. On the corner, very close to the football stadium, is the old power plant. It's been sitting there for years vacant. It's one of the most incredible locations on campus since it's right by our football stadium. It's got some issues. There's asbestos in it. And people for years have been talking about how can we possibly make use of this piece of land, this incredibly wonderful piece of land right here by the football stadium and this facility. And so a number of different groups of teams came up with proposals for how to renovate that and how to redesign that and make use of that space.
Like what? What did they come up with?
Well, one of the things they come up with was to use it for mainly to make use it for a green space and a, essentially a visiting area, a visitor's area as part of our campus master plan. So it would be a place to hold events, for example. You can imagine it would be an incredible place to hold events there, especially on football Saturdays.
Absolutely. Okay, and I also wanted to point out that some of the freshman teams also built computer apps, which would be right up your alley too. There was one I noticed that was pretty funny. It was a first aid app for college freshmen, and one of the default buttons in all cases was call mom, which I thought was real cute.
Yes, exactly.
So, when all else fails, you know.
Which means it was a well-designed app.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thought through carefully.
Yep. All right. Well, I want to thank you, Wayne Dykeson, who is professor of computer science and engineering and executive director of Design Day at Michigan State University. The next Design Day is Friday, April 29th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and these events are open to the public, right? If you just want to go in and be inspired by tomorrow's youth, it's a great thing to do. It's a lot of fun. And I've been to the last four or five of them and just had a great time talking to these kids.
We have hundreds of high school students that attend and are really inspired by our students. So we love to bring in the high school students, and they have a great time talking to our Michigan State engineers.
Okay, so where does someone go who might be involved with the high school to find out how to bring their class there?
They can give me a call. They can just send me email, or if they just go look on the website, it's easy. It's designday.msu.edu.
Okay.
And if they want to reach you, you need to give us your whatever contact information you want to share.
It's on the website, designday.msu.edu.
Okay. Thanks very much, Wayne Dykeson. I want to thank our other guests today, Alexa Milkovich from Be My DD, Maureen Miller-Brosnan from the Michigan Venture Capital Association, and of course, we cannot let a Monday go by without thanking our engineer par excellence, Jessica. She
Jessica.
Keeps us listening good.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, we've got one more show before the holidays. We're going to be doing a best of on December 28th, but we will be back live next Monday, December, that's the 21st, right?
21st,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
Richard Steenan, I never call him Dick, Richard Steenan and Dan Lorman are going to be back. They're going to be talking about this big cybersecurity events of 2015 and, you know, what's on the horizon for 2016.
And we'll be kind of doing a year in Michigan technology and review next week, too. So stay tuned for that.
This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.